Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much for being here this morning. Let me just briefly say thank you for all your kind words of comfort, the sudden, very unexpected passing of my sweet sister, Susan. Susan passed away at the end of last week, and our funeral was Monday and Tuesday, and just really appreciate it. It was neat. Arlene and I got home and, you know, just had a stack of cards from many of you at our home waiting on us, and then came to the office and had a stack of cards that had come to the office too, and your kind words and your emails and phone calls and those of you that reached out and shared your love and prayers. I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate your continued prayers for my family, for my brother-in-law Carl, and his sons Joe and Michael and their grandchildren. It's a tough time for them now to adjust to life without Susan. All right, well, let's jump right in here and let me share with you. We've been talking about toxic. This is week number four. If you've been here with us at First Church, we define toxic as anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. And how we've talked about how you know we would never on purpose take something that was toxic, something that was poisonous, but yet we do it all the time. You know, if we took something that was poisonous, something that was toxic, and we knew it, we would right away call the poison control center, right? But yet we allow these toxic thoughts, toxic influences, toxic relationships to permeate who we are. That week one, we talked about toxic thoughts. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life." Week two, we talked about toxic influences. Proverbs 25:26, "Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked." And how we need to make sure that our spring, that our well is not muddied, is not polluted by the toxic influences in our lives. Last week, Brother Don stepped in on such short notice and really appreciated that. Talked to you about toxic relationships. Do not be misled. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Okay? I want to add to that today and talk to you about something. But let me introduce it a little bit different, okay? Talk to me here. What was your favorite show back in the 70s? Nobody watched TV in the 70s, huh? Oh, I heard it. The Andy Griffith Show. Didn't you love the Andy Griffith Show? Our kids and this next generation is going to miss it. So all of you that have never seen this show, and for the rest of us that loved it, let me introduce the topic with a little clip from the Andy Griffith Show. Watch this.
Sarah, get me the Bluebird Diner. Juanita? Barn. Hi. Yeah. I finished that poem. You want to hear it? You got something to hold on to? Okay. Juanita. Juanita. Lovely, dear Juanita. From your head down to your feet, there's nothing half so sweet as Juanita. Juanita. Lovely, dear Juanita. Oh, there are things of wonder of which men like to sing. There are pretty sunsets and birds upon the wing. But of the joys of nature, none truly can compare with Juanita. Juanita, she of beauty beyond compare. Juanita, Juanita, lovely dear Juanita.
From your head down to your feet, there is nothing half so sweet as beautiful Juanita. That's beautiful, Marge.
Ha ha. man. I mean, I knew it was coming. I just love it. I can't help but just enjoy that so much. What was it about Barney and Andy's relationship? Barney was all the time saying something that Andy would like remind him of, would call him on, would bug him about. And it was always about words that Barney spoke that Andy would use to pick or to make fun of. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about words, specifically about toxic words. See, I mean, we know that Barney and Andy, they had this marvelous relationship. They loved each other. But so many times we allow our words to be toxic. Even when we don't realize it, I think sometimes they can be toxic. Let me give you an example. Just this past week, one of the days that when we were in Tennessee, we were waiting for the funeral and for my sister, and my nephews were in town, one of my other sister's kids, and I was Uncle Johnny to these boys, and they're like 10, 12 years younger than me. So when I was, 15, 16, they were just little kids. And anyway, they loved to play golf. So we planned and we went to the golf course, and I took my two nephews, Brian and Michael, and I took my son-in-law, Mark, and we went to play golf. And here's what I did. We went to the golf course, and I paid for all four of us to play golf. And then I had this in my mind, and I said to my nephews, who are real competitive. My one nephew, he's a better golfer than I am now, and his goal is to beat me. And so I said to them, I said, I'll tell you what, guys, if you beat me, you get your golf for free. But if I beat you, you have to pay me back. Sound like a deal? And my one nephew that's actually a better golfer than I am, he and I were just going to play head up, just straight up, whoever had the best score. My other nephew, Michael, is, he's a terrible golfer. And he decided, if he shot 110 or 15 or 20, that he'd be pleased. So we decided that I had to beat him by more than 30 strokes, okay? So if I beat him by more than 30, he had to pay me back. And then my son-in-law, and how can I say this? He's learning, okay? And so we decided that I had to beat him by 35 strokes, and they'd have to pay me back. And then my son-in-law, because he was riding with me, I upped the ante of him. I said, hey, Mark, okay, if I beat you by 35 strokes, you have to pay me back for your golf. If I beat you by 40 strokes, I get to name the baby. And he's just competitive enough, and he said, you're on. Okay, buddy. I know what the baby's name's going to be now. So anyway, I come back, and I tell Darlene, I said, I made this bet with the guys, and they were going to have to pay me back if I beat them, and then about the baby. And my wife, who's the righteous one in our family, she said, oh, yeah, John, that's the thing you want your nephews to remember you by. Not the wonderful, generous man that paid for my golf, but the guy that made me pay him back for golf. And, it kind of irked me a little bit. And I'm thinking, I really don't want to be known for that. I will name the kid if they'll let me. But anyway, it's like, what do we want to be known for? We have to be careful. That's the point. We have to be careful with what we say. Because we really don't all the time understand and realize how powerful our words are and how so many times our words that we don't desire for them to be toxic, they can be toxic. Now, let's let the Bible give you some examples here of this to help us. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Isn't that interesting? How can something have both the power of life and the power of death? It's how we choose to use them. I mean, our words can have the power of life. They can be affirming, good words, encouraging words, words that build someone up. Or our words can have the power of death. Whoever said that sticks and stones may break your bones, but names or words will never harm me? It's not true. And our tongue has both the power of life and the power of death. Or how about this? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, But the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, are you like me? Do you ever have a problem with reckless words? Reckless words that pierce like a sword? You see, it's a choice. He says it. We said before, the power of life and death. It's a choice in how we use them, whether or not our words are life-giving or bring death. Here, it's how we choose to use them, whether or not our words are reckless words that pierce or whether they are words that are wise that brings healing. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Now let me highlight a couple of words there. The tongue that brings life, that brings healing, is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Over and over and over again in the Bible indicates that our words, that we choose our words, and then our words choose whether or not they are life-giving, or whether they are healing, or whether they bring healing. Or life, or whether or not they are death, or pierce like a sword, or crushes the spirit. It's all about whether or not what we choose our words to be. Therefore, it's really important that we understand this. You know, when the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart against toxic words. The verse part of that, verse 22 before that says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Have you ever thought about that? Thought about where do your words come from? You know, so often we dismiss what we say as being something that we don't have control over. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that. Well, you know, that just popped out. I'm not sure where that came from. Please excuse me. Sometimes I put my mouth into gear before my mind, you know, whatever. But really, where do words come from? Every word that we speak starts from deep within us, and every word that we speak is chosen. Every word that we speak is set, ready to come out. Every word that we speak, we open our lips and form the word before we speak it, and then we let it go. You see, it's not really true that words just jump out. They don't just jump out. We form them. We make them. We choose them. My daughter was with me this past week when I was meeting with somebody, and she said to me, she said, Dad, you use this one word, and she was going on and on and on about it, and she's like, she'd never heard that word, and I couldn't remember what it was, and she couldn't remember to tell me what it was, and I kind of went back through the conversation we had and tried to think about it. I mean, you know, I have such a wonderful vocabulary that, you know, it's just, right? Think about it, though. Where do your words come from? You form them. You choose them. You decide what they are. And then you bring it out. That's why when words are hurtful, when words are deceitful, when words are chosen that bring death rather than life, that's why it is so, so devastating. Have you ever heard, has one of your children ever said to you, I hate you? You just can't get it out of your mind. Why? Because you know that that's not just something that jumps out. They choose it. They form it. And then they say it. So when the Bible says above all else, guard your heart, what he's talking about is that he's making sure that the motivation that brings forth your words is a motivation from God. That it is a wellspring of life. You know, just before the sermon, or just before the service this morning, maybe you noticed we were playing a song by Toby Mac called Speak Life. Do you know this song? You're going to hear it again after the service is over. We're going to play it as you leave, and so you can do, but Toby Mac, he talks about how we have to choose to speak life into the lives of other people. And when we choose life-speaking words to give to others, we should do that every chance we get. Have you ever noticed in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, do not let any what? Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Anybody kept that one perfectly? Take your hand down, John. Not me. And not you. I mean, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Let me show you something that is so important in this passage. He's talking about a choice again, and our words are always a choice. And he's saying, choose to speak words that build others up, that it may benefit those who listen. But then he says this, according to their needs. Folks, listen, highlight that. Mark that down. Remember this word, because so often when we speak, it has everything to do with us and who we are and what we're feeling and what we're going through and what's going on in our lives and what's going on that day. Most of the time when we speak, it's about what someone has said to us or what we want to say because of what's going on inside of us. So much of our words when we speak are always based on us. But this verse says it should be the exact opposite. That when we speak, that our words should be spoken according to the needs of others and making sure that those words build people up and benefit those who listen according to their need. Let me tell you something. If we could obey this passage of Scripture, and if when we spoke words, those words were always spoken according to what the person that we were speaking to, what they needed rather than what we wanted, or what they needed rather than what we were feeling, or what they needed rather than what we desired, our words would be so very, very different in life. So speak life. Speak life, speak words of life into the lives of other people every chance you get. And then there's something else here. Now, I love this. I just was thinking about this the other day. The Bible has a lot to say about how speaking words of life can change your circumstances. Have you thought about this? How words that we speak, words that we choose to speak, words that we put out there has the ability to change our circumstances. Now think about this. Jesus actually said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, if anyone says to this mountain, remember this passage? If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. If anyone says to this mountain, did you know that? That your life-changing words, when you speak words as God encourages you to speak them from His Word, when you use that kind of vocabulary with other people, those words have the ability to change your circumstances. Another passage, it's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. It says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by their words you will be acquitted, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You see, a lot of us, we think about coming before God, and it's like, you know what, God, you know, He's going to know my heart. You know, He had a good heart. You know, that scares me to death. That we will be acquitted by our words, or we will be condemned by our words. Why does He say that? Why He says that is that our words, contrary to what some of us think, our words and the words that we speak really do say who we are. We too often dismiss it as, oh, that's just the way they are. You know, he doesn't mean it. You know, he always talks like that. You know, she just, you know, she speaks before she thinks. You see what I'm saying? But the Bible says, listen, we need to be careful, because the words that we speak are an indicator of who we really are. And when we come before God, that we will have to give an account. He says the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So if there is evil words, if there are bad words for you this morning, and you really struggle with that, with your tongue and with the ugliness of speech, it's who you are. And it's something that we all need to get a handle of and a handle on and make sure that we overcome. Because what we speak, the words that we use, really do tell a story as to who we are. You know, folks, there's probably not any other toxic anything that has more of an influence on our lives and the lives of others than our words. And it's something that we have to make sure that we get control of. Let me say it to you this way. Remember in the book of James, it talks about how the tongue is the rudder of a ship. So in other words, wherever your words are, that's where you're guiding your ship. The promising thing is that you can change the direction of a ship by changing the rudder. So we can change where our ship is headed simply by how we use our tongue. But it's always a choice that we make, whether or not we use toxic words or words that bring life. The tongue has the power of life and death. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Let's make sure that we get this right. You know, just day before yesterday when we were coming home, our daughter Sarah, she still hadn't had the baby. We really thought she was going to have it while we were down there for my sister's funeral. She was dilated and whatever all that means, and doctor said she was ready to go. I don't want to embarrass myself by trying to explain that to you. I don't But anyway, she didn't have it. You know, we came home and anytime. And we got back into town and we were pulling down 17th Street. And Sarah calls me. I look down on my cell phone and it's her. I answer, I say, hey, sweetheart, I said, you okay? And she said, Dad, she said, I'm really having contractions and they're getting closer together. She said, I'm in labor. And I said, you're kidding me. She said, yeah, I'm kidding you. And I said, don't do that to me. I told Arlene, and Arlene said, honey, she's just like you. That's what you would have done. So I'm kind of proud in a weird kind of way. I said, don't do that to me. And then she really did. She paused. She's like, Dad, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. So this is not the time, okay? I mean, we just drove 550 miles, and now, you know. But anyway, you know, we need to pay attention, don't we? I mean, think about it. That passage I had up for you there a few minutes ago that said that according to their needs. I mean, if every word we spoke, because think about it. When you speak words, you're speaking to someone else. Most of the time when we're talking to ourselves, we just think, right? I mean, I don't know, maybe you're different than the rest of us. Maybe you talk out loud to yourself when you're all alone. But mostly, if nobody else is around, when we talk to ourselves, we think. But when we talk, we're saying things for other people to hear. What if we did that in such a way that was always according to the other person's need rather than our want? How much different life would be if that were the case? Because you see, folks, life-giving words can change your circumstances. And if this is something today that you struggle with, as we all do in one way or another, understand that the words that you choose and the reason that you choose them can change you, can change the people that you're speaking to, and can change your circumstances. into a place of victory rather than into a place of defeat. He says here that if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and don't doubt, it'll be done. Isn't that awesome? That we can speak to mountains, obstacles in our life with the words of faith from the mouth of God, and it will be so. So today, as we gather around this beautiful passages of Scripture, may they encourage us to choose our words well, for our words are taking us on a journey, and may it be a journey that we want God to be with us right along beside us every step of the way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you are so good to us. We are so blessed to know you. We're so blessed to have you. We're so blessed, Lord, to be a part of your family and a part of your kingdom. And dear God, I pray right now this morning that you would be with each of us that are here today. Father, may we choose our words well. May our words be motivated from a heart that knows you. And may our words be spoken, Lord, from the point of need of the person that's before us. And may we choose words, Lord, that would build them up rather than tear them down. May we choose words of wisdom, Lord, rather than words that pierce. And Father, may we choose words that bring life rather than words that bring death. So Father, I pray that you bless us as we sing this awesome song about your majesty, about who you are. And may we know, Lord, that our words can be your words because your Spirit lives inside of us. And Father, may we be committed to that every moment of every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, Christ.com.